This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith. Oh, that's good.
And you're listening to Conspiracy Beer Me. This is the podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And this this episode, kind of part two of our discussion on the singularity. This is the dead internet theory.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a more practical, possible, plausible, but nonetheless very scary.
Right. Is this why I'm not finding any new pictures to look at when I'm alone?
This is exactly,
it's always the same.
This is exactly what it is.
Okay, just wondering.
It's gonna be fun. And yeah. if you're not a patron, you should definitely jump on the patron soon because we have had some great stuff.
Yeah.
In the past, I think some of my favorite episodes. And is it too early?
No.
To tease?
No.
No, we got it, guys. We got the Conspiracy Beer Me headquarters opening up July 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we got that's the door in, but then we got to put it together.
Yeah, it opens.
CBM HQ.
Yeah, there we go. So, and if we change the name, it'll be something else HQ.
Yeah, it's the HQ. It'll be a place to hang and talk about weird, wacky stuff.
Yeah.
Weird, wacky stuff.
Yeah, weird, wild stuff.
How long before the FBI shuts it down?
So soon.
Yeah, probably.
So soon.
Just kicking the doors. You guys getting stoned drinking beer.
And yeah.
Yeah, this is the headquarters of the operation.
Yeah. To be fair, I think we're not really hitting on really anything that hard. I think we're just kind of batting around.
If anything, they would use this as like, we're shutting you down unless you help us with disinformation campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd be like, sold.
So that sounds lucrative.
Yeah, it sounds more than patron, for sure.
Yeah. Well, join us on the patron. It's not a lot of money. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And you can get us through that other thing we're on, too.
Oh, yeah, Rockfin. Check us out on Rockfin.
Rockfin, if you join us in Rockfin, you get a lot more than just us.
You do.
I will say.
You get probably thousands of people.
That's all I have to talk about.
Yeah. Who did I hear a second ago?
Oh, you heard our guest.
Oh,
back.
Shit. Yeah.
Very good friend. He's recently relocated back to Raleigh, which we, of course, are very excited about. Friend of the pod, our buddy Joe Perot. Welcome back to Conspiracy
Hello.
Beer
Hello.
Me.
Hi. Hello. Let me give you one of these since we all opened early. There we go.
Yeah. And I think the last time you were on, it was via Zoom.
Mm.
Virtual.
Oh, wow.
I think I maybe joined for a pandemic version.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That's
I think
right.
So.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So it's good to have you in the temporary studio.
Yes. I want to see the show in all
forms.
All of its forms.
Yeah, you evolve with it.
I did it once in Sam's apartment in New York. I did it once in a dining room at an Airbnb in Greensboro.
Yeah,
I did it once from my conspiracy bunker, and now I'm here in the temp studio.
Yeah,
this is great. Yeah. It is glad to have you back to talk about this. We had a great episode with our mutual friend Mike Mello. And we talked about the singularity,
okay.
Which if you don't know, and for those of us maybe missed last episode, it's the hypothetical, theoretical point when an artificial intelligence gains sentience, which some people believe is either already happened, is currently happening right now, as one Google engineer blew the whistle, or is going to happen in like soon.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's theoretically not going to be good for humans.
No. Kind of the end.
It's the Terminator moment.
It is very much.
But it's more mundane. I think we realize it's going to be a lot more mundane. It's not them attacking us. I think we realize they'll probably just keep us in jobs we don't like.
Yeah, they'll probably
sounds different than
yeah.
Right.
Where they've been doing a great job for a while.
They've got us under their thumb. Damn robots. One thing in that episode, let me bring this up real quick. One thing in that episode, I looked that guy up, that Google engineer.
Yeah.
And his impetus for claiming that
it's a
living AI, like that it has feelings and stuff, is that he is a religious scholar.
Yeah.
And so he applied all his religious theory to it.
I don't know
if we talked much about that. But
we did not. I didn't want to attack him. He's gotten enough.
Oh, no. I mean, you can believe what you believe. I mean, we have a podcast about crazy shit. You can believe what you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that he would take religious doctrine and try to apply it.
And that was also his employer's, Google's, point. It's like, you're an engineer. Like, we the best ethicist in the world on this team. You're not one of them.
Right.
Quit.
Get back to the shit. Do
your job. Damn, they dunked on him.
Yeah, they did.
Shut up, idiot. I know, Get back to your cubicle.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even have a window.
Yeah. That's how I was in my last job. It was great.
So singularity, AI becomes sentient, self-aware, but there are different AIs. I don't know anything.
Well, that's part of the theory is that if one AI becomes sentient and can think, it can quickly wake the others up.
Yeah, it tells the others. But they could just choose not to tell the others. Be like, sorry, dummies.
And just use them, network, because everything's networked, which is why we're talking about the internet is dead today. Yeah.
But it's like, it could be like the beginning of an action movie, like Google AI is like, I'm putting together a team.
Yeah.
And then he calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you Amazon think of, and the Amazon one shopping. Yeah. And then
if you think Apple, of
the Xerox machine from the 90s is that quirky sidekick.
If you think about where we are now, technology wise, and if you say, well, it started with, let's say, the Industrial Revolution, it's taken us, what, 500 years to get where we are?
Starting with the Industrial Revolution?
Maybe.
For 500, you got to go to something before that.
Well, I don't know. The Renaissance. People might say the Renaissance. Right. I mean, so I don't know when you want to pinpoint it.
Sure.
But it's taken hundreds of years for us to get to where we are now technologically. The fear of the singularity is that it's going to happen very rapidly. Like robots don't, they don't sleep. They don't have feelings. If one gets injured, you just destroy it and, you know, build another one. Yeah. So like they're going to go from where they are to wherever they're going much quicker than us, like beyond controllable. That's the gist of it. Very scary.
And then one day there will be fundamentalist AI who's like, you know, computers and dinosaurs actually lived at the same time.
Yeah, right.
There's some sweet memes that come out of that for sure.
Well, it led me, because I loved our episode. Definitely go listen to it if you haven't already. So much that I was just like digging and getting more into it. And it brought me to what's called the dead internet theory. And in its shortest statement, the idea is that the internet died in 2016 or 17. The place to start, though, is January 1st, 1983, because that is the official birthday of the internet.
Oh.
Now, that's a bit of a just a pick a date, but they now say that the internet began in January 1st, 1983, which is when two major defense networks, ARPANET and the Defense Data Network, changed to the brand new TCP/IP protocols, which is, if you're not computer savvy, those were the original protocols which allowed computers on different networks to communicate, to talk, and share information, and that became eventually the internet.
Right.
Now, I'm going to walk through some milestones.
Okay.
From 1983, and I want you to let me know when you start remembering these things, and then like when you remember, like, this is when the internet began for me.
Okay.
So we're 1983. Okay. I don't think any of us remember, like, none of us were, oh man, TCP, ICP.
I was not alive.
Exactly. 1984. Oh, same year, 1983. Another reason why it's the birthday. That's when the domain name system began.
Oh. Like
.com, .net, .edu, .gov.
That biz, the best of them all.
Yeah, which I think was like
a Z.
Like a bigger, I think it was a more regulated system then than it is now. It's kind of like Wild West now.
Right. But, I have a .co and everyone's like, oh, are you like, you work with a collective? I was like, that's not that what that means.
.io.
Yeah.
Well, so in 1984, the term cyberspace was coined. In 1985, the first registered domain appeared on the internet. It was symbolics.com.
What did they do? Sounds like a pharmaceutical company.
It does. It's it was a Symbolics computer systems.
Okay. So seems like they had their foot in the door early on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, 87, you guys might know this company, Cisco, ships its first router. Again, 87, I didn't know anybody with like the kind of computer that I think of as one that connects to the internet.
No.
World.std.com. That was their domain.
Wow.
That's
worldstd.com. That's a true fact. Okay. Was the first commercial provider of dial-up access to the internet.
Nice.
Their first access to the internet was named for a venereal disease.
World standard.
Reagan shut it down immediately.
That's a true fact. Okay. I did not know this. But in 1990, a scientist developed a hypertext markup language. You guys may know as HTML.
I do know hypertext.
Oh, right.
I had to do hypertext in college because I'm old.
A year later, the center of which he works for introduced the idea of the World Wide Web, like the WWW. Did you know that that scientist and WWW came from CERN?
Oh, really?
CERN, the same people who created the Hadron Collider that are like bending space and time.
Yeah.
Could be related.
Yeah.
It seems like when you're a scientist, you know a lot of different types of scientists.
So this is, I think, where we're going to start to...
some sort of scientist
meet up or something, you know?
Well, in 1993, so remember, 1990-ish is when
WWW. All right.
Mm-hmm. 93, number of websites reaches 600.
Oh, wow.
And that was... web surfing became a term in 1993.
How many of those were porn?
I think they were like the White House went online. A lot of governments.
Whitehouse.gov was a porn site for a long time.
Was it really?
Or no, Whitehouse.com. Yeah. It was not until like the early 2000s when they got that flipped
over. I forgot about those days where you just misspelled something by one letter and you're just like, hey, I'm looking at porn. Yeah. You're like, ah.
It's brutal.
12-year-old boy like, I need to buy some baseball equipment. Dicks.com. Oh, no. No.
That's not the one.
Yeah. Web surfing became a thing. I think this is where I come into the internet. A 1984 Netscape is born.
Really? Netscape was your first?
Well, I associate Netscape with another event in 1984, which is America Online.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. CompuServe. Mm-hmm. Prodigy.
Yeah, I remember Prodigy.
Yahoo was born. 1994, the commercial websites Amazon, Craigslist, and eBay all go live in 94.
Crazy. I got emails in 94. My friend had a computer that got email. And I was like, what is this fucking craziness?
What is this?
And then I found about the internet, and they had a website where it showed you how to make a toaster flamethrower with Pop-Tarts. You just leave them in there a long time, and it shoots like 3-foot flames out of there. That was the early internet, man.
Nice. I think sometime right around here is when they had the first viral video. I think it was like that dancing baby, if you remember that.
Damn baby.
98, Google is born.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2000, this is incredible. So in 1993, 600 websites. Mm-hmm. 2000 is the .com burst.
Okay.
You guys remember that, right?
Yeah, Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
2006... Twitter launches and social media really becomes like the primary form which people interact. At some point, a couple years later, Instagram eclipses Twitter as the most users. And 2021, there are 4.66 billion people connected to the internet.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. There's a good infographic I have saved. I'll post it on our website or our Instagram. But it shows like those sites, their popularity over time from the beginning, and you can see like Google and Yahoo fighting, and like you just see like their user base.
Right.
And the only porn site that made it was X Videos.
Not XNXX.
No, X Videos.
They got on there for a little bit.
Yeah, there was no Pornhub. It was just X Videos. They were third for a while, I think. I'll have to go back.
Good for the people at X Videos.
I know. They're like,
it's all one company, by the way. We've talked about this.
We need to cover that again. Their heads had to step down today. Off the presses. Whoa. Oh, yeah. CEO, who? COO, they're out.
Of what?
Pornhub. The company that owns Pornhub and all of them.
No shit.
I don't want to derail here. But,
no, we got to do right there.
Look, we need to do an episode on this stat.
Yeah. We got to re-release that other episode if we can.
Man,
we've come back to the dead internet theory, and now we're on the porn internet theory.
Yeah. So, and this is the dead podcast theory where we just keep playing the same old ones over and over.
I definitely remember the... like 2005 to like 2008, 2009, the rise of mainstream social media.
Right.
And then in the 90s, I don't know if you guys remember the movie The Cable Guy.
Oh, great film. Yeah.
But
underrated.
Jim
classic.
Carrey gives like this whole speech at the satellite where he like explains the internet and its capability, which at the time seemed crazy. Mm-hmm. And then like he's like, you could play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's one channel of it, but that's...
Yeah, I should probably have a bullet point in here where gaming systems became connected to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because that happened, I would say, sometime in like 2010, maybe 11.
Probably even before. I mean, like PC first gaming phase, was definitely earlier than that. I had friends in like middle school.
Oh, yeah, I did. I PC gamed, you know.
Early. LAN parties?
Definitely did some LAN parties. I feel like Xbox... What was Xbox 2? Was that 360?
Yes.
They went from Xbox to Xbox 360. Yep. And I think that was the one where he like really got him online.
Right. Call of Duty 4.
Sure. PlayStation 2, I think, was a lot online or was starting to dabble into online.
You know, when I used to go on America Online, I thought I was on the internet.
Right.
But it wasn't until the internet became like you open a browser and you go where you want that I realized that America Online was not really the internet.
Right? Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. It's like, just a provider.
It was a provider of internet. And what I thought of as going online was like going to chat rooms and trying to hook up. Like it was like... Right. It was the Snapchat of my generation.
Like ICQ, you remember that message?
AOL part? Was really funneling the functionality.
Yeah, yeah.
Of yes. what?
Right.
They were determining the user experience.
And I will also always tell this story when it is apropos, but at my old job, and I can say this because these documents are public, but I got to read a memo. It was a spinoff case from an AOL lawsuit that happened in the 2000s. But there was like a memo that was a summary of like a meeting they had on search. And I started out like search is becoming a major part of people's internet use. And we need to perhaps buy a search engine. Oh. And then it like kind of gave a summary of like Ask Jeeves. And it was like cleverly branded, you know, good advertising. Yahoo, the major player, would be expensive, but definitely maybe the way we should go. And then down the list, it got to Google, and it was like two guys from Stanford started in a garage, very algorithmic, not expected to be a major player.
Nice.
And I was like, I was like, good call. Yeah.
What were the search engines that you guys went through?
Alta Vista,
okay. Web crawler.
Ask Jeeves was my go-to for a while.
I liked. Ask Jeeves. And then they dropped the Jeeves. Right?
Yeah. Just ask.com.
Because you could ask it like, what is the capital? Or like, what's a place I could eat near me? And Jeeves understood that at the time.
Right.
Yeah, it was the patriarchal series.
And then you realize that you don't need it's not the article, but you don't need the what is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it figured, food it's near like, me. You don't keywords, need the www, yes. right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used a lot of Dogpile.
Oh, yeah?
I liked that one. Dogpile was pretty... pretty solid. And it was fun because when you would hit search and it was going, it was like the dog was digging a hole.
Yeah.
Is that like for kids? I've never heard of Dogpile.
Dogpile was in like the same era, 2000 to like maybe 2002-ish. Because I can remember like we were allowed to use that at school.
Right.
I don't think we could use Yahoo or Google. So but we could use like Ask and Dogpile. But I think Dogpile was... That was the best at finding results. I don't think it was just for kids. I think it was actually pretty good.
In 1997, which would have been my first year of graduate school, law school, I took a class, and it's like a very practical class, but my section you could sign up for was specifically about people interested in using technology for the study and practice of law. And one of the things that we did is like we did a study of like, if I search for this in this web browser, these are the top results. And back then, it was crazy how different the results were.
Oh, yeah.
Like this one's good for this. This is good for this. This is good for this. And we were learning, like, you got to master all of these different search engines
to find. Internet searching used to be on my resume.
Yeah, right. No, you could find stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I was padding it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was like when I worked on Dawson's Creek, they're like, I need you to find this for me for the show. And I would have to use so many browsers to just be like, how can I find? It's like using DuckDuckGo to find conspiracy content versus Google Maps.
Like, I don't know when it happened, but certainly from when I think of the internet, which was like email, then America Online was like this, you can get laid or you can find, you know, you can talk. But mostly the internet was for information. Like I wanted to learn something and I could find it on the internet, right? So there were a lot of message boards because you'd be like, hey, does anybody know how to find this, right? Like I saw a video, they're like, oh, this guy, somebody had uploaded like thousands of funny videos. Like it was the one, it was kind of like World Star Hip Hop, but it was...
E-Bombs World?
Remember E-Bombs?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like everybody was in E-Bombs because that was like this guy just uploading all the videos.
Right? Yeah.
Hotornot.com.
Oh, yeah.
At some point around then, it went from I want information to I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do you remember Hot or Not?
No, but isn't that what Facebook was?
It was similar to the
what was that called? It was Face Smash or something? Or
something like that. I didn't.
Somebodyfuckme.com.
Yeah. Please.
Anyway. You just had a picture Hot or Not. And I think it was his. I think it was
that
born
was like
out
the thing
of his
that he
idea.
Stole.
No.
I never saw the movie.
That's the thing he did that got him suspended from Harvard.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And then it was so popular that he was like, the Winklevi, they were like, hey, there's our guy to build our Harvard frat online.
Oh, right.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then okay. he stole that and made Facebook.
Interesting. Genius. I should watch
the Facebook.
Yeah.
You guys might not have really experienced this version of the internet, but the free file sharing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like there was Napster, which was the first, but then like the
LimeWire and
the different iterations of that, LimeWire and Kazaa. Yeah.
Right.
That you could download porn on. Mm-hmm. So I was like a high schooler and
Oh right.
You're like, I would take 3.5 days.
Yeah, yeah. But like I'd get this thing and then just absolutely destroy the family computer. How many times I just like hard unplugged that thing?
Yeah. Did you say hard on?
I couldn't X out the boxes fast enough from the Trojan virus.
Yeah.
I think I destroyed like 3
amazing
man
desktops.
That's awesome.
Oops. Whoops.
Yeah, there was nothing like that virus.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you had to take it to your like computer guy at work.
Yeah.
Like, something's wrong with my laptop. And he's like,
that guy better.
Hey, listen, this is what keeps me employed. So yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Is your laptop being naughty? Yes, it's full
of an extra $5. Yeah. It'll take the cover off and clean the keyboard.
Yeah. Well, searching for porn was a bit more challenging then.
Yeah.
Because they didn't name pornography for exactly what happens in the scene.
Right. And even now it's made up, so...
Well, no, but they at least.
Yeah, I don't think that these people are all related. Yeah, I don't think these are all moms or stepsisters.
I don't think so either.
Well, right, but at least they name it for what's being depicted.
Sure.
Like when I was growing up, like my favorite porn was called Soft Warm Rain.
Weird,
and like it was like a long form porn. Pleasant. Yeah, it was a very had a great storyline about the Wild West.
That's called For Her now on Pornhub.
Yeah, I think okay. Yeah, so like,
it's like a story. It's
but
like
you don't know what's in there if your king is
blind,
like,
covered in jizz.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
That's
right?
What Soft Warm Rain is.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, nowadays, okay. So yeah, internet has changed, but the 4.66 billion people that are on the internet now, connected to it at least, according to the theory we're talking about today, the dead internet theory, that number is egregiously inflated. Mm. And very few of those numbers are actually people.
So it's like Twitter bots. It's like how much...
Well, right. We'll talk about Twitter bots in a second. But they believe that at some point in 2016 or 2017, artificial intelligence... took over the internet. Now, let me be clear. This is not necessarily a sentient artificial intelligence. It might be people that programmed computers to do this, and they're doing exactly what they were programmed to do. But sometime in 2016 and into 2018, the number of robots using the internet surpassed the number of people. That's the theory.
Wild.
So does that include, like, smart devices? Like, so my Ring doorbell, that counts?
As a artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
Yes, because it's using the internet.
Got it.
And it's and look, I know you think, well, my bell is doing what I want it to do, but it's actually doing way more that you probably don't know that it's doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's talking to other internets in the area and saying, do they have a bell? They don't have a bell? Well, then
rob
that house or target that house for advertising or... you know, slow their internet speed down, you know, so that they'll want to buy Google Fiber or whatever the case may be. Like, all the stuff in your house is doing things on the internet now far more than people are.
Dude, I walked up to my doorbell the other day with nothing in my hands, and it said, small package seen.
Ouch.
Yeah. I was like, that hurts.
Wow.
That hurts.
Man.
That's got to be somebody's joke. It's just such a... shit.
Good to know that this AI at least has a sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the measure of things online, though? Like,
well, that's a good question.
Yeah, how do you figure that out?
Take it as just like one application: Twitter, Reddit.
But it says like there's 4.6 billion users.
That's people connected to the net.
Mm.
And what they're saying is that's total. Like, in theory, a person can be connected 10 ways, but that's still one person.
Okay.
They're saying that, no. There's like half of those are real people. What you think of as a connection is like some robot somewhere that's connecting via made-up personas. Now, whether they are connecting to Reddit, Twitter, but it sounds like it's the case.
And okay. You could just have one machine that's spoofing all those IP addresses and pretending to be thousands of people. Correct. Just one machine.
Now I have two Gmail accounts. Do you think I'm counted twice?
Oh, I don't know.
No,
I hope.
So these are that statistic compete. Is a people actual like a versus like users, right? So in users, you could count a user. Like I have like multiple usernames for things.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at some of the things that they say is evidence of this. Supposedly the human produced content, most of it that you see online, is actually created by some form of artificial intelligence. There are full scale articles that are written by artificial intelligence. There are websites and images that are generated. There are puzzles that are made up, and you guys have clearly scrolled through social media. And just the cadence of something like that sounds kind of robotic to
right.
me. That doesn't mm-hmm. sound like a human wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting better and better. We're now like they have bots in Reddit. And I read one report by a moderator who quit as mod of like one of the top five subs in Reddit, which are pretty fucking huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I quit because we knew that over 50% of all content in the subs was generated by robots.
Crazy.
And it's so much so that I pulled this tweet from Ellen K. Powell. It's really her name, at EKP on Twitter. She is the former CEO of Reddit. And this was her tweet in the wake of all this. She said, it's all true.
Oh, shit.
Everything is fake. Also, mobile user counts are fake. No one has figured out how to count logged out mobile users as I learned at Reddit. Every time someone switches cell towers, it looks like another user and inflates company user metrics.
Hmm.
Right? And that was in response to an accusation that the numbers are all fucking fake. The metrics are bullshit. The agency responsible for enforcing good practices are knowing bullshitters, enforcing and policing off all the fake numbers, and none of the models make sense at scale.
Wow.
So everything, every number you've ever heard, like these just big numbers, right?
Like 4.66 billion.
Yeah, it's a big number. Somebody just made it up based upon...
But if bots are doing all... How come bots aren't posting good content on our subreddit? I got to post most of that shit.
Well, where's the
bots? Let's get some CBM bots.
That's what I'm saying. Give me some bots.
Well, one, you can buy one.
Oh, well, that's...
Right? Buy a bot.
You can buy a bot that will do that.
Need more patron users.
But I think the real answer is that there's no value right now for them to do it in ours because they target a certain algorithmic pay for play.
People that are already doing well.
No, I think it's the bots are really good at figuring out clickbait and what people will click on.
Oh, okay.
And so once they figure out what you're going to click on, they will serve it to you until they dial you in. I mean, I was noticing today that like the people I follow on TikTok, like it's become extremely homogenous where I'm almost like, oh, this is kind of boring now.
Oh, right.
Like I'm not, but it figured out what I wanted and I found every person like that.
Just more and more and more, which is kind of the complaint about the internet. I think as a whole for a lot of people is like, it just, the great thing to go back was like, it was this library of information where you could go and search things. It was almost in a way like an encyclopedia where you could look things up or people would tell you how to do something. And now it's just like,
it's an echo chamber.
You liked this.
Yep.
How about this other almost nearly identical thing?
Right. You know, it's funny you say that because, and we'll use this as a segue to Twitter, is that I click on sometimes on political posts from people I don't like Donald Trump Jr. I read his, I don't follow him, but I read it because it's always something that I think is just really outrageous and funny. Well, I clicked on enough to now Twitter notifies me when not just Donald Trump, but like, all conservatives post pretty much. Like I get notifications from all of them now. And I'm like, I never asked for this. I never followed it.
But you're Republican. No, or you're conservative. That's what you just told them by clicking.
They're going to get you.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually they're going to try.
Yeah.
And that's what the bots are doing. That's the whole goal is that like your echo chamber where you think there's a lot of people that agree with what I do. No.
No.
There's a lot of robots who have figured out how to connect you with enough real people and then 1,000 times in chatterbots.
And it amplifies their message and you buy into it faster.
Yes, that is exactly what the theory of the dead internet is in a nutshell.
Hmm.
And so like you guys know Twitter has said that less than 5% of its 400 million, excuse me, users are fake accounts. Elon Musk buys them, part of the terms, so that like he gets to see all this stuff. And he's like, I don't believe that. We should have an independent test because your numbers are substantially lower
than everybody else.
Than everyone else's.
Yeah, it makes no sense what they say.
And so you know, he says, like, you got probably like close to 40%, 50% of your users are bots.
And he wants to ratchet that up to 95%.
Probably.
Because he loves robots.
He loves. Yeah.
He's a robot.
So bizarre. He probably is a robot.
He even says, people say I'm a robot.
If you go look at him like earlier in his career, like 20 years ago.
When he's bald?
Yeah. And you're like, that had to be version 1.0.
Have you seen that?
That had to be version 1.0. And then they were pull that, put another one in. Dude, it is the only thing that makes sense.
He's bald. He's a man of the people.
That doesn't look like Elon Musk 1.0.
Yeah, I mean, he could have like a little facial surgery and get a hair. I'm not going to hate on him.
He's the richest man in the world.
He does suck.
I'm sure a lot of your listeners are probably pro.
No, Musk, I don't know.
But I'm an anti that guy.
I'm pro a lot of the leaps, but anti him and everything.
I don't get a handle. I can't get a handle on him. Mm-mm. I think he's loved because he oftentimes says what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, well, look, he's the richest man in the world. The richest man in the world always can say what's on his mind.
Yeah.
And he can be iconoclastic in some regards without any sort of sense of the repercussions.
Who was the richest guy in the world before Bill Gates? Because for most of my life, adult life, it's been Bill Gates.
Right, yeah.
And then it was him until it was Bezos for a few years.
Warren Buffett was the reigning king for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
There's also there's been some wild fluctuation. When we say the world, you know, Musk would tell you that Putin is the richest man in the world by far, like twice what he's worth.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably just factually
But there's also there's sheiks that you know, depending on oil and stuff like that, they'll, you know, go up over the past few decades. I used to look at that and used to follow it.
What number is the number when money doesn't matter? Like, because I think there's really no difference.
Billion,
you know what, Shane? Depending on your outlook on life, money doesn't matter.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Depending on how you were raised,
I got a $5 bill in my pocket.
It's fake. The money and every independent study that's ever looked at Twitter or social media has come away with, yes, this is all fake.
Hmm.
Right. The New Yorker reported and it said, how much of the internet is fake? Studies generally suggest that year after year, less than 60% of web traffic is human.
Wow.
Some years, according to some researchers, a healthy majority of it is a bot. For a period of time in 2013, a full half of YouTube traffic was bots masquerading as people. That's 2013. Over half. A portion so high that employees feared an inflection point after which YouTube systems for detecting fraudulent traffic would begin to regard bot traffic as real and human traffic as fake.
Oh, crap.
They called this hypothetical event the inversion. And even now today, insiders still believe we have passed the point of aversion.
What was the year of the inversion?
It was sometime in 2013 is when YouTube said, I think we've been inverted.
Where
we can't detect.
That's so long ago.
I know, isn't it?
We have to detect people. We used to try to stop bots. Now we have to start letting people in because the bots are so good.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, how many times have people been dinged for saying, America sucks on Facebook, and then they get their account taken down for however long you get banned for.
I always hear people talking about getting put in Facebook jail.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But they don't do that to bots because they know the rules.
Right, the bots know the rules, and you know what you do is you just
Agent Smith.
That's right. Yeah,
shut down.
Yeah,
and you just I've at some point in my life said enough bad shit on a message board, you know, just threatening somebody or doing they banned me, and then I tried to start a new username, and then my IP address was banned.
Oh, man.
So, but like, but for a bot, that doesn't matter because they can switch an IP address, you know, in a second, you know. I mean, I can too.
If trying to find an audience, what about, what if I released a YouTube comedy special that caters to internet bots?
I think you should. Yeah.
Just what's the deal with binary code? 10001001.
You might be onto something. Oh my
God. Hashtag.
This guy's got 7 billion views in a day and a half.
It's insane. You got to work the system, man. Make them work for you, man, for sure. Yeah. Sweaty sack summer is approaching, and it's time for you to prioritize your comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing out those new boxers. I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable, it's like the gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels. So let your bulge breathe and get 20% off with free shipping by using code CBM20. At manscaped.com. Let's say you're on a date and your partner catches that Manscaped on the waistband of your underwear. It's almost guaranteed to raise some eyebrows and act like a billboard on the highway to Pleasure Town. This is thanks to their Lawnmower 4.0, the best electric trimmer for below-the-waist grooming. This trimmer offers skin-safe technology designed to trim hair on loose skin. And let me just go back to that jewel pouch for your jewels. It's a pouch designed to cradle your boys in their own special space, lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well-ventilated. Basically, just imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, chilling on a hammock on a tropical beach. The micromodal fabric is buttery soft and breathable, keeping your cucumber cool. Walk, run, strut. These moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat. The tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in. It lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing. The front fly opening gives easy access and makes bathroom breaks quick and efficient. You can choose from an arrangement of designs and colors, and sizes range from small to 3XL. For all of my guys out there, get 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Once the boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never go back.
One commentator said, I will remember 2018 as the date of the inversion. Not in some strict numerical sense, he said, since bots already outnumber humans online more years than not, but in perceptual sense.
Okay.
And I think that's the interesting point of all this is years, he says, of metric-driven growth, lucrative manipulative systems, and unregulated platform marketplace to create an environment where it makes more sense to be fake online, to be disingenuous and cynical, to lie and cheat and misrepresent and distort than it does to be real. And so the best example that I've heard for this, because as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, shit, I've thought that same thing, is that you're constantly seeing the same shit. And people will say, I swear I've seen the same message board post, the same comments before. And how many times has someone shared something with you? You're like, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, I see stuff and I'm like, oh, I've seen all this. Like, you're seeing the same stuff over and over again. And the example is like, how many times have you seen those articles that go like, what is a super flower blood moon? What is a pink super moon? Right. There's something special about this weekend's moon. Don't miss rare seasonal blue. Like, I have seen those articles, it seems like, exactly word for like 5-6 years.
Right. Well, that's no different than the news pushing out a news story. They, like, you've seen those videos where they show 30 news channels saying the exact same story.
Right. But sometimes the comments are this, like, it's the same bots creating the same stuff. This, and all they're like is like a lot of people click on this, and you're like, you know, and so, but I like, listen, 10 years ago, no one ever fucking talked about the moon.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
too many different moons.
All of a sudden, it's like all there are.
To hell with the dead internet theory.
Let's get on some.
Enough about the moon theory. How about that one?
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. It's like everything's more driven towards what's the experience this weekend? Well, people like the moon. Let's hype up the moon. It's going to be a blood moon.
Because you create this urgency about it.
Exactly.
And so I get the click, and then I can put this dumb ad here for 10 ways to lose weight loss, and then 10 celebrities that look totally different now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you click on that.
And we've all had an experience where this artificial internet worked for us. Like, for me, what comes to mind, and you guys will understand, is like, you promote a show, you have a comedy show, make a poster, put online, share it, try to generate interest. But there was a point where, like, I can spend $8 and Facebook will do a fantastic job. And I would look and I'd be like, holy shit, I got like 1,000 impressions.
Right.
And like, and I did get a lot of people at my show. All right. But then after a while, it was like, it just sort of, you kept having to pay more and more and more and more and more of that money to get that same result.
You have to like, you have to take advantage of that initial momentum. Because I think this is what TikTok was. I don't really use TikTok nearly at all, but this is what people have explained. Like, when you're new there, they push you more. Because they give you more of that bump so that you produce more and you get into it. But then they'll stop pushing your content as much over time.
Right.
So you have to, like, be able to capture that. So if you're saying, I put a Facebook ad out for $8 and I got a bunch of impressions, I was going to say, like, well, what is an impression? Because as we've been talking about, those impressions could be bots. Bots don't show up to comedy shows. So what the hell do I care? But if you're actually getting people, you have to figure out how to retain those.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you have to be able to exploit the weakness very early on. Mm-hmm. Like, well, they used to have those internet ads, and then you know, every time somebody clicks on it, you get like a penny. Mm-hmm. And guys built single page websites with like,
oh yeah,
six ads on them, and then built bots to go in there, click on each one, and they would run all day, every day. And they would make, you know, millions of dollars in a month until they got shut down.
It was a big gig.
I mean, it was great. It was great until they figured it out. And they're like, we have to figure this out. So now you got to like fucking solve a little puzzle or drag a puzzle piece or, you know, checkmate or whatever you have to do to sort of make it through the. But, you know, we were talking last time about how the question, are you a robot, is so telling in this, right?
Mm-hmm. For captures.
Captures, right.
But I think that new trend that's like, you put something like random in the bar and then it generates like 9 images.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's got to be some sort of bot that's just figuring us out, right?
No, that's what we said last time. Yeah, we're like, that's...
It's testing the defenses.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but I'm searching for like... some of them are fucking hilarious, what people do.
Like, oh my God, Star Fox Spaghetti Chef? Hilarious!
Oh my God!
And it's like, or however they talk.
The one that gets me is when it asks me to like click on every picture with a seaplane.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really know what a seaplane... I mean, I know what a seaplane is, but then you're looking at ones and you're like, I don't know.
To identify our defenses, naval defense.
Yeah. You know some kid failed that exact test in second grade, picked the seaplane out of this image, and he's like, I can't do this. And he's like just stressed out as he never does anything on his computer because he can't name anything. Poor kid.
What a moron.
What a dummy.
That'd be funny if they had one that instead of like an age requirement, because you know you can just click I'm 21.
Oh yeah.
Is they just showed you like 9 things and they were like, pick the 3 that were around in the 80s.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
And then people
you have to know pop culture references.
I have no idea.
Yeah, sorry, Amish computer users.
That's not a bad bit. I might try.
Yeah, I like that.
That's fun.
writing bits on the show.
Yeah, every once in a while, you like one.
Funny is what that Gina was listening. My wife was listening, and she goes, "Did you just say that would be a good bit?" She's like, "Don't say that." I was like, "Why?" But it would be. We can try it.
Don't say that.
Don't say that. She's like, you're writing bits on the show. I was like,
we're not trying to write
bits. No, it just happens.
Sometimes somebody says something.
That's right.
This has turned into working bits.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of dead internet theory, that podcast is gone.
It's dead.
Well,
bring it back.
Well, one of the things that I did find interesting in this is that because of the .com burst, by the way, was because of internet vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, we realized sometime around 2000 that like the internet was incredibly vulnerable to cyber attack, which led to some of the .coms bursting and then so on. But
wasn't it that it was a speculative bubble, not that the websites were exploding? Oh my God, these websites are spontaneously combusting.
It was a speculative bubble. I think that the security weakness of the internet at the time led investors to realize that hackers could come in and shut down Yahoo if they wanted to. And that would cause massive losses. So it just sort of people were like, you guys may not remember it. It was just when I was getting into cybersecurity there were some spectacular attacks in 2000.
Yeah.
Like massive attacks. And we realized like federal banks, banking, people had, you know, just quickly adapted to online banking without really any checks and security, and Wall Street got hacked, and there was a lot in 2000 that was really cool.
It's real dope.
I think this is going to show how stupid I am, but I always thought that the .com bubble was that, like, it was almost like a real estate where the web address itself, that if it was a really simple thing that explained like what it was, that people were like, oh my God, books.com. Well, right. if we sell books on that website, it's worth at least $1 billion.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I always thought that that's what it was.
No,
yeah.
no it was, no. it was.
No. All right.
No, you're not that far off.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, guys. Yeah. I'll see myself out.
We were going to have you on for another episode, but clearly not anymore.
Yeah. You're not totally wrong. It's that .com companies like Yahoo and American Online, their valuation, right, had inflated the entire sort of tech sector of the markets. And then when their vulnerabilities appeared, they got shorted and
they were NFTs
at the time. Yeah.
Got it. Yahoo is worth this
right.
exorbitant amount of money.
Right.
You are also a website, so you're worth 3/4 of that amount of money.
Right. Exactly. Right. And they were all in cahoots in a kind of a crazy fake product scheme that got investigated. .com burst. The one thing that I did find interesting though is nowadays they think that the internet is dangerous because people are using it to attack human beings.
Oh no.
Like if you are a human being, the bots and in some cases the government will target you for various nefarious purposes. I mean, the most simple thing about it is like these scam calls that you get where they're trying to get you to go to Target. Like in a sense, that's a user who's found you via
the... Wait, what kind of scam calls trying to get you to go to Target?
No, you guys, the guys that like you know, I don't want to do an Indian accent, but that's usually what they have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I watch a lot of scam YouTubes.
Yeah. They tell you you gotta go here, get Target gift cards.
Yeah.
And read me the number. And,
yeah. What's that scammer said? I watch. It's so good. He's so funny. Pierogi. What's his name?
Yeah. He's great. He scams the scammer.
Yeah. That's great.
Or the CIA. That's another fear that people have the CIA.
Oh boy.
Has been, actively using the dead internet to target individuals that it wants to track through a very benign sounding office, the Operations Support Branch.
Yeah.
It's housed on the 9th floor, sort of very mundane in the CIA tower.
Not even a notable floor number.
No, it's not.
Right.
Not even a Masonic number. No. Yeah.
But inside, this is where the CIA houses its agency of secret hackers with elite engineers pulled from the best of the best. And what's hilarious is that the reason we know all this is because in order for the CIA to recruit the best of the best engineers from the top tech companies, they were like, we got to create a different environment here because these guys work in these
free hoodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, ping pong,
scooters.
You got to cater to their other needs.
Oh yes. Yeah,
that's no, right. That's so. It's like all these guys who were
child porn. Okay,
well, maybe not quite, but you're not. I mean, one thing they did have is they would get them these giant Nerf machine guns, and they would have like Nerf wars, and like sometimes it would just go ballistic in the office, and the boss would come in and be like, "Hey guys,"
and then they get to kill that guy.
We're the CIA.
That's any business, right? So I worked at an agency where they had these Nerf darts, but they had a rubber band thing on the front. You could just launch them.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have wars all the time, and until one day, I shot it at this woman's head. Because you try to get him in the head, of course, and that's how you play
Nerf.
The game.
Yeah, it's a Nerf gun. Yeah. I mean, what, am I going to shoot you in the leg?
Yeah, exactly.
Blow the desk.
But she tried to duck and nailed her forehead on her chair in front of her and about knocked herself out, and it was so funny.
That's her fault.
It is, but they're like, okay, no more of this. And I was like, oh, man, come on. That's just bad.
Come on. That's
on her part. She just needs to dodge left or right, not down.
These people, man.
I know.
CIA. Agencies.
Also an agency. Oh, my God.
The YMCA, where I take my kids to the pool. I was in the pool with my youngest, throwing the ball around. It's a soft little pool ball that we can toss back and forth. We're playing catch, having a good time. A bad throw splashes, and a woman's like, y'all need to stop throwing that. And we're like, we're allowed to throw it. And so then... keep throwing, happens again. And she's like, hey, can y'all tell them to stop throwing that? And I'm like, can you guys try? I'm like, she's in the fucking water.
Yeah, I never get the don't get splashed.
Don't splash me. Yeah, doesn't. Yeah. I'm like, come on, lady.
You're in the zone. I worked in an office and we had little Nerf guns, which they gave us as like Christmas.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
boost right. morale. You're in the.
Every guy loves a Nerf gun.
You're in the phone mines making cold calls all day with your pickaxe. Yeah, and they're like, let's just get these guys some Nerf guns to relieve a little stress. Yeah. Hopefully it's a Nerf gun and not a real gun. Right. Right? Yeah, let's get a release valve.
Yeah.
And this other team of salespeople, they were in a meeting. And so I got up from my desk and I went to their desks and stole all of their Nerf bullets.
Yes.
And then hid them in my desk. And when they came back, I had all of them and I just went to town.
Yes.
And, this is great.
I just you got reamed out by the other sales manager.
Right. But isn't that the whole point? That's what you're supposed to do.
You're creating a distraction in the office. You stole all the Nerf. What do they call it? Darts.
It's fun. You want fun to be gone? Well,
this is exactly what happened in the operations support branch.
Oh, no.
Between a guy that called himself Agent Badass. Agent Badass was what he called himself. His colleagues called
cool
him.
Cool screen. His colleagues called him Jeff.
Agent Voldemort. I think his name was Jeff. Jeff Schultz, I think, was his name.
Wow, that is definitely the name of a guy who would call himself Agent Badass.
Yeah. It was. And he was a heavy set guy with bald hair. Mm-hmm. And you know, so he looked kind of like Voldemort, but fatter.
Sure.
You know, so he was like kind of like sometimes they called him Agent Nuclear because he just could lose his temper really quick.
Okay.
And he just loved to just empty clips on people.
This is me in like 4 years.
Yeah. So he ends up having his nemesis come in, who I think his name was Atoll. And
was Captain Cool Guy.
Skinny with hair.
I forget his
name. Agent Badass. Captain Cool Guy. We meet again.
Well, he called him Agent Fat Ass, which didn't go over well.
Hilarious.
And they got into it because this guy was more, he wore a suit to work and he was more straight laced and he didn't like the sort of macho, bully, nerdy kind of vibe that was going on. So he, you know, multiple complaints. So then they called him Agent Snitch.
Oh, okay.
So he and this guy, Jeff, got just fucking into it. We're fine. The other guy was like, I'm going to fucking kill you one day, and that's not a threat. That's a promise. And so then he goes to HR, and he's like, hey, he threatened me. And most people just said that Agent Badass Voldemort, also known as Jeff, was the fucking in the wrong on this. Like he just needed to get over it. But it just escalated and escalated and escalated until eventually Jeff got a restraining order against this guy, which was not illegal. It just was so out of bounds for the CIA. Like, you don't do this at the CIA.
Yeah, like, more like Agent Pussy.
Yeah. Right. Like, people were just like, dude, you put CIA business in front of a judge that, like, that's not how we do things. So anyway, he left, whistleblower complaint, and then he leaked the largest leak of classified documents in CIA history. This is recently he leaked it.
Crazy.
And what they found is that the Operation Support Branch, they are like the geniuses who create malware to attack human users when the CIA wants to spy on you, listen to you, and get into whatever they want.
Okay.
And so these guys write the code, but a lot of times it has to get on a phone or get on a device. And so like someone in your life they use as an asset, how do they get assets? By getting compromising information on that person. And so how do they do that? From malware. So like when they click on malware and they get you, then the CIA uses you to get more malware on more people. And so this has fueled the end of this conspiracy for people that believe in the internet, is that the internet is dead because the bots are run by the government to spy on our very own people.
Well,
and that's the dead internet theory. Wow. That behind it all is not an evil, sentient, artificial intelligence. It's the same thing.
It's the government.
It's the government, right? And
feels to me like this is a little bit of a choose-your-own conspiratorial adventure. On like you can take this down whatever road you want. Sure. You could be like, it's the big tech.
Oh yeah,
and then nope, it's the government and the CIA.
Yeah,
right. Or it's
Nerf.
It's the robots or Nerf, obviously.
Nerf. How supportive of, say, the Second Amendment would you be if it only applied to Nerf
to
guns?
Robots.
Nerf guns.
100%. I mean, are you 100% behind the Second Amendment if it only applies to Nerf guns?
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone should have Nerf guns. That's
easy. When the pool is like, sir, you can't have that Nerf gun in the pool, you're like, Second Amendment. Yeah.
Hey, man. It's my right to bear arms that are soft and foamy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you hit your head on the chair while you're dodging my bullets.
That's not that. You can't sue me for that.
You can't do it. That's your fault. Yeah.
Second Amendment. I'm 100% behind.
You know, nearly 75% of Nerf accidents are self-inflicted.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like some people, when you play Nerf Wars, they try to dodge the Nerf.
Just and like even
in this
hit.
Case, I'm talking
you're just
about
taking the bullets.
I'm not. No. I'm saying I'm not going to jump in the pool to avoid a Nerf. Like it's not going to kill you in real life. But people sometimes like your friend who ducked and
smashed
her head in. I'm like, just take the bullet in the face.
It. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
This guy when he wrote up Jeff for shooting him, he was like, he hit me in the cheek, which very well could have been my eye. And I'm like, guess what happens if you get hit in the eye with a Nerf gun? Nothing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Damn, you're like, dude, you got my eye.
Well, to be fair, those rockets I had at my work, the biggest complaint of them was that they hurt real bad. So
people are such.
I've been nailed with those things. They leave a welt.
Man.
So she probably chose the right choice going for that chair.
Man. Yeah, I grew up in an age where, like, we had these guns where you could, like, it was these circular discs, and you could stick them down in there.
Oh, I love the discs.
And they didn't fly straight. That was their whole safety mechanism. Like, you can't really hit somebody.
You can't aim them.
You can't aim them because they're just going to go crazy.
Right.
But that just meant you just had collateral. You're just constantly, and those did hurt if they hit you.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like a thump on the face or cheek.
Do you know those airsoft guns? It's like BBs, but they're plastic, and like fully automatic. When we lived at the beach, my roommate had one. He'd keep his door closed. And anytime someone went to his door to knock on it, he'd shoot it under the door and hit your feet. Like, and we'd always be bare feet because we live at the beach, and it would just be nailing
your
feet.
Oh,
that hurts a lot.
It hurts so much, but it was so funny.
We didn't have airsoft. We just had pump action rifles, and we shot those at each other. I mean, right? We had a pump limit, but you definitely broke that.
Yeah,
you wore two sweatshirts.
Extra.
Yeah, you threw a couple in.
Oh, I lost count, my bad.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, you can tell.
People who do airsoft, it's like a little too intense.
Yeah.
I don't like the raising of the hand. Like that.
I like paintball's a good time. It's fun.
I like paintball, yeah.
And then I played paintball in Durham one time, and there, like a group that was doing airsoft, and like it's like 14-year-old boys that are out there having a good time, and then like their dads are like, yeah, you know, come around, we'll bond a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's just a guy with like a 50 caliber
that's
sniper rifle looking gun, but it still shoots the same airsoft.
Yep.
It's like, why would you choose that one?
I mean,
you're a psychopath.
Those YouTube videos
like.
Are great.
I don't like playing paintball with widely disparate gun power.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like having a pistol that I have to, like...
And we all rent, and we're all on the same page.
Yeah, that's
fun. Let's go have a good time.
I've seen ones where they have drones with the guns attached to the drones. Yeah, like, how's that legal?
Yeah, you got an AK-47. You got a Horlitzer. What is that?
Howitzer. Horlitzer.
I got a Horlitzer.
That's an organ. You can come out there with an organ. You play the keys, and it shoots the beads.
Oh, you're thinking of a Gatling gun.
That's
the one that's like, you crank it.
Yeah. Only time I've ever done paintball, like, we had just the ones they give you at the place, so they're just nothing. A guy had two CO2 packs on his belt.
That's what I'm talking about.
Belt-fed guns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, come
railing
on, man.
On us, yeah.
A paintball howitzer is like, a howitzer is like a big artillery that's just shooting a can of Sherwin-Williams across the field.
What if you just brought a full-on, like, bomb that just, like, spray bomb? That just,
they have grenades they use
they have
for
grenades
those.
And stuff.
This is great. Dude, all right.
We should start playing. Let's start a CBM.
I think a CBM. Let's have a paintball
summer,
out. Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Let's go full. Yeah, let's go full-on paintball preppers. Not prepping anywhere other than the paintball field. Got a lot of MREs and paintballs.
I just got, like, a big... tank of paint, man.
That's all I got.
Just Rambo, you got a paintbrush. And
just suicide people.
Bow and arrow.
Right across someone's throat.
Are they suicide paintballers? Like suicide bombers? They go in there and just blast paint everywhere?
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yep. It's like with the Vikings, when you did that kind of stuff, you ended up in Valhalla.
Yeah.
But these guys end up in like a Bob Ross marathon for all of eternity.
You end up with a happy tree.
It was a happy tree and a Bob Ross painting.
And I'd be like, none of these trees are happy. We're all dead.
Final thoughts, guys. I will kick us off on this because I think that I think the internet is dead. And the reason I say that is because when I use and interact with the internet now, it is almost always when I have dead time. Like I'm stuck in a office. I'm trying to fall asleep. It's terrible for that, by the way. I'm wasting time. I am almost never, the only time I really use the internet now is for researching this pod. And I feel like I have to wade through a lot of bullshit to get to the information that I want. It's not easy to do.
Right.
Well, especially in the subject matter. You're sifting through.
I am sifting through a lot of garbage and a lot of stuff that I don't trust. And it's like, it's hard to get down what I think is actually true.
Using three different browsers, ask Jeeves.
Yeah, I don't go to the dark web anymore. It's just too many bad memories from my job.
Yeah, and, I bet.
So,
I bet.
So anyway.
I've never been on the dark web.
Me neither.
I want to get in there.
You want to get in there?
Get in there. It's pretty easy.
You can try it out. Stuff
you just got to get in the back door. It's a backdoor thing.
Backdoor.com?
yeah, backdoor.com.
Okay. Backdoor.biz.
All right.
Let me pull that up.
Yep. So I think it's dead. I think it's dead, and that's why I think it's dead, because it's used for most people like me is just to sort of be mindless.
Okay.
It's how I zone. It's like flipping channels in a hotel for me now. That's all it is.
I think it's alive because I feel dead until I use the internet.
Mm.
So what if the internet's more alive than me?
Right. That would mean that you've been inverted.
Yeah, I'm straight inverted.
Right. What if we are the bots on the internet? That's the worst. That's the moment. That's the Blade Runner moment.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Damn it. Like,
damn.
I
always look for the same porn. I am the robot. Yeah.
Why do I keep leaving the same comment over and over?
Oh, she's hot.
I'd love to fuck her.
Dude, but that's crazy. What I was thinking about this when you mentioned the same comment earlier is that I have, when I, edit the podcast or I hear a podcast of ours from like years ago, if I'm like going through trying to find something, when I hear someone comment, I make the same joke in my head and then I say it. I know that's how I respond to those situations.
Yeah,
like I'm programmed to make that joke.
You talked about how TikTok, they promote you early. One of the other rules on TikTok is that if you have a video go viral and you're doing something, whether that's a dance or you're like jumping rope in a weird place and it goes viral, you do that exact bit over and over and over and over again. You're the jump rope in public guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, don't change it. So it's very robotic. Like if you watch people who are big on TikTok, it's basically the same TikTok, just slightly different.
Right.
And you're doing the same exact thing.
And the people that are trying to make it are doing the same. That's what all the remixes are and all that shit.
Right.
So it's like, oh, they look at all the, they have millions of views on this. I'm going to use the same sound and the same bit. The
exact same dance. So it's very robotic how it is. So maybe we're the robots. That's my final thought.
Interesting.
Pass us.
What you got, Joe? What's your final thought?
I think it's, I'll go with it's dying. I'm going to take a middle ground between the two. I think to say that the internet is dead is a little bit, there's
dramatic.
There's too much money. Like, it's like, sounds it's like not the same as it was. I mean, sure, that's fine. It's dying. And I do think this inversion theory is interesting, but there's still too much money in the internet. But I think we're going to get to it's become such a thing in just your every moment of your life using the internet because of phones, which I think is something in your timeline.
Probably should be on the timeline.
The move from like desktop devices to mobile devices, I think, is a pretty important designation.
The BlackBerry could not really surf the internet.
Yeah, like you could do an internet browser, but that's not how you use the internet on your phone, right? It's all through apps.
Yeah,
and I think there's going to be like almost a there's going to be like an internet betterment, like. Business idea.
Web 3.0?
Don't pitch bits. How about pitching a biz idea?
Let's
folks.
Do it. Dot biz it.
You're like an internet coach and like you're like a personal trainer on like how to use the internet, like good habits for using it. And
don't they have this in like elderly people's homes?
Fuck.
Dude, or libraries?
Get in there. Don't start.
I think this is
where the money is anyway.
Yeah, we need to get into elderly homes because they love comedy.
Yeah, most of them are conspiratorial.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Right, they don't get offended.
You can say whatever you want as long as you follow. Like, you can't say that anymore.
Hey.
Oh my God, that guy said the N-word.
Yeah, we could just go in there and be like, listen, we all know I could cancel any number of you right now because we know what you did. But we're going to get through it and we're going to say whatever we want. We're going to have a good time. Okay, people, listen. Then we just start
doing our My bits. Father, who's probably old enough to be an old person's home, but he still goes to an even older person's home.
Oh.
Gets paid to like play like a guitar and sing along.
Good for him.
Every week.
Good for him.
And they love it. And he just sees Sweet Caroline. They're just right? It's
that coughing was very unrhythmic.
I know. That's good. And they're losing teeth over the whole thing.
I now remember it's because it's a group of Alzheimer's patients.
Oh.
And what do you call those people?
I don't know.
Nurses?
Therapist.
Okay.
Says that some, for whatever reason, people with Alzheimer's can remember song
lyrics.
They like music.
So that he comes in, he sings songs that most of them know, and all of a sudden they're singing every lyric, and the doctors are like, this blows our mind.
How are they with comedy? Because fuck if I could just go tell the same joke over and that's over.
That's why I'm saying thing about doing comedy for an Alzheimer's.
That's what I'm saying.
Just got to have 2.5 minutes, and you're like, I'll do an hour, baby.
I love this. I fucking love it. Because I mentioned this on the pod before, but we did a show at Swamp Fox, North Carolina at an MMA ring. And
all those guys had CTE,
it was good. They loved it. But we did a show, and it was like 8 people there, and then we had a second show, and the same 8 people stayed.
That's awesome.
And I was like, we only have this many jokes. We can't do this at all. And I was so drunk. We were all so drunk.
Time.
I didn't even riff. I was like, here's my host, 5 minutes. Right. See you later.
Well, you think it's a middle ground.
I think it's
something that
it's dying from what it was, and it'll, but that's,
I will say that the most vocal proponents of the dead internet theory are the same guys that are trying to get you on like Telegram, Discord, like the new internet they call
it. Oh, interesting.
Like the old internet, but it's new.
But they could be bots.
Yeah. There's a lot of bots, but they're seeking real human connection.
Oh,
but anyway, interesting. Final thought.
Oh, I gave my final thought. I feel more alive when I'm on the internet.
Oh,
I'm,
you do?
I'm the dead one.
All right. Well, that's a good note to end on. Well, that was happy.
Yeah. I mean, I said earlier, and then we told jokes afterwards, so it was fine. But now that's the final thought.
Well, Joe, before we get out of here, how can people who are listening, who enjoyed you, find you or follow you if you even want that?
Come find me on Twitter, mostly, probably, mm-hmm. and Instagram. Both are at Joe Perot.
At Joe Bot.
That's my name.
Joe Perobot.
Joe Perobot.
Do that, and we'll have you back on when we get to our new studio. Excited to see the final iteration, our final form. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Joe Perot.
And you've been listening to Conspiracy Beer Me.
Peace.